Pacifico, Bill Hendry.
And welcome to the final hour here of this Friday night, now Saturday morning, here on the West Coast, world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And we thank the Dooleys. Don't forget, next month debuts the Bobby Dooley podcast. Speaking of podcasts, you can hear the daily Phil Hendry podcast. And this is drawn from the archives of our enormous, our big, our huge, our gargantuan-sized archive.
That's childish, Phil.
Don't give me the whole, just let me do my thing here, okay?
Well, the big, you might as well say the big
throbbing.
I didn't say that.
Well, you know what, Margaret? You're making it even worse by pointing it out, then.
Pointing out what? Throbbing?
Yeah, as a matter of fact.
Well, you could say you have a throbbing archive.
Really? Okay. And our big throbbing archive. Does that make you feel better? Because you were the one that was saying that...
Never mind. You're blowing it. You're missing the point. As Robert De Niro said in Copland, you blew it, you blew it.
Yeah, uh-huh. All right, so anyway, our podcast is available daily.
What's wrong?
I got an itch on my back. She's bugging me. You guys bug me. The whole thing's bugging me. All right, anyway, we have our podcast daily. If you go to the podcast banner on the homepage of our website, philhenryshow.com, click on that and you'll find a podcast. And we will also have a banner there so you can find the Bobby Dooley podcast once and whence that baby is rock and roll. And that should be, as we mentioned, a couple of weeks. All right. Anyway, welcome to the show. Great to be with you. Great to have you there where you are. Great for us to be here where we are. And just you stay where you are. We'll stay where we are. And I think then we know where everybody is, right? Because, you know.
It's tough to keep track of everyone.
Yeah. It's very difficult to keep track of people. So I know you guys are there. I'm here. Our subscribers watching on Phil TV, they're there. Whoever is out there is out there. I want to give a little special shout out to a lady. Now, this may scare her or it may delight her. I don't know. But we have a wonderful little listener that I talk to on Twitter a lot. Her name is Gigi. She's 15. And I got to tell you something. When you have fans that young, it's fantastic. But it also kind of worries me because the material we do here sometimes.
Well, I would say, is her name Gigi?
Yeah.
First of all, darling, this is Margaret, and Gigi, that's a lovely name.
I don't know if that's a real name, I guess, you know.
Well, it's a lovely name, and it reminds me of the Maurice Chevalier. Did you see Gigi, Phil? Did you see it?
No, I did not.
Well, it's Maurice Chevalier, and he does the song 2-3, and Bill Bergantine was my accompanist for years, and Bill died as the result of he had the accident.
You said he had a chandelier fall on him?
Well, it was the Cirque du Soleil, and it wasn't with Cirque du Soleil. He was fooling around on their stage, and he thought it was a fake prop, and it fell on him, and it wasn't. He thought it was a foam rubber chandelier. So he pulled the switch and said, "Watch this," and that's the last anyone ever heard from him. And
good God, that's a gruesome way to die.
It's very sad, because he thought that the chandelier was made of foam rubber.
And he goes, "Watch this."
Yeah, he said, "Watch this." He pushed the button, and this thing came crashing down on him, and he barely got out the word "this." He said, "Watch," and he hit the button, "this," bang.
And he's dead.
Well, I hope so. I mean, I didn't stick around, but he eventually was dead, yes.
Oh, were you there?
Oh, yeah, I was in the audience. It was a rehearsal, and he was fooling around. I said, "You know, Bill, darling, that belongs to the Cirque du Soleil people." And he said, you know, he said something along the lines, "Oh, they think they're so great. It's really very easy. Watch, click, this, smash."
And you got up and left.
Oh, I fled the theater, yeah.
Your accompanist, your friend.
He's my accompanist. There he was, and he's a great one. I wouldn't say he's my friend. If he was my friend, I would have gone up there and pulled the chandelier off of him.
Well, Margaret, I mean, you don't have to be a friend of someone.
Yeah, I mean, you didn't go up and help?
There were people up there. I was shocked, and I was late for I had a dentist appointment. Now, I know it...
A dentist appointment?
Hold on, Phil. Before you get into your indignation, which I think is so stale...
Margaret, I'm not being indignant in a phony way. I mean, it shocks me.
Will you let me finish?
Yes.
First of all, I had an interview that evening with Tom Hanks.
Okay.
I had been suffering, and I know there's a lot of people listening who know this, I had a bit of halitosis as the result of some gum rot. See right here? See? Right there?
Okay, Mark. Yeah, I got it, okay?
Oh, grow up. So you can see that?
Yes.
No, but you see the rot, right?
I see it already.
Anyway, I had breath that was... Frank said it was fetid. I said it was bad. So you take your pick.
Okay, I guess it was... That's not good.
No, it's not good. The chandelier hits Bill Bergantine. The last thing I hear is, yeah, and I said... It's now or never, Margaret. Either you get up there and get the chandelier off of him, or you flee the theater and get to this dental appointment, because I cupped my hand in front of my mouth and went, you know, as we all do.
You did a quick breath check.
Yes, I went, huh, took a whiff, looked at Bill's legs sticking out from underneath the chandelier, and I said, my God, I've got no choice.
And you went to your dental appointment.
Yeah, but you with your judgment, and you didn't...
Yeah, but Miss Gray, the man was...
He was on, there were 15 people getting, I had breath that smelled like rotten eggs. What would you have done?
What would I have done?
Yes, and don't lie.
You want me to tell the truth?
Well, now I know what you're going to say. I would have gone up and I would have helped the man.
Yes, that's exactly what I would have done. And if I saw that there were a lot of people there that were helping him, I would have been shocked. I would not have been able to leave the theater to go to my dental appointment.
Even though you've got breath that would knock a buzzard off of a garbage scow.
Yes. Margaret, I don't know how long you let the halitosis go, but I got to tell you,
Oh, okay. Tell me all about it, Mr. Crest. Mr., you know, 3 out of 5 ADA dentists recommend Crest. Go ahead.
Well, I mean, I just take care of your teeth, for God's sake, so that it isn't such a crisis that a man is dying in front of you. And
he was dead. The thing came down. Crash, kaboom.
Oh.
I don't like these conversations because it makes me look like the back end of a horse. You see, when in point of fact, it should be you.
Well, I'm so sorry it doesn't go according to script, but you're the one that's saying I had halitosis and I had to get to the dentist and...
Well, you repeating it doesn't make me look any better.
Yeah, but see, it's great. You talk about your breath and knock a buzzard off a garbage scow, and...
Could you say it a little bit louder so the whole world hears it?
We're on the radio right now.
I'm going to say, if they see that your breath...
But just...
The breath smells like a garbage scow, okay?
What?
Your breath smells like garbage.
But nobody can hear you. Now it's ridiculous, all right?
Breath smells like the garbage.
My breath smelled like someone hadn't taken the garbage out. Yes, what of it? What?
The fact that you just readily admit that, I just, you know, that's... Well, it's why we love you, Margaret.
I'm honest.
You are. You are. It's why we love you. Can I...
Go ahead. You and your radio show.
Oh, well, I'm sorry my radio show is interrupting you telling us all about your treatment for halitosis and Bill Bergantine and the chandelier and the Cirque du Soleil and you fleeing the theater doing a breath check.
Well, at least you were listening.
Right. Ronaya, R-O-N-A-I-A-H, Ronaya Tuiasosopo. Sounds like a mouthful. It's a Polynesian name. And for a moment, I had confused this man, Tuiasosopo, with another Tuiasosopo surname that had played for the San Francisco 49ers. But this man is a friend of Monte Teo. These are all Pacific Islander people. And the man who has been publicly identified as being behind the Monte Teo girlfriend hoax, this Mr. Tuiasosopo, called a church friend in early December crying and, quote, admitted to duping the Heisman finalist, the friend told Outside the Lines on Thursday. The friend, a woman in her mid-20s, agreed to be interviewed under the condition that she not be identified, saying she was fearful for her family's safety because of the overwhelming publicity the story has generated. In the interview, she did allow for her voice to be recorded. She said Tuiasosopo gave her the tearful confession and account of how he played what he said was a first. A game on the unsuspecting Teo, and she said he told her that it wasn't the first time he'd done it.
What?
He told me that Monty was not involved at all. He was a victim. The girlfriend was a lie. The accident was a lie. The leukemia was a lie. He was crying. He was literally crying. He's like, I know what I have to do. It's not only Monty, but he was telling me that it's a lot of other people that they had done this to. Notre Dame issued a news release Wednesday. The Deadspin.com reported it could find no record of Lene Kakua, Teo's supposed girlfriend, existing. Notre Dame athletic director Jack Swarbrick said in a news conference on Wednesday night that coaches were informed by Teo and his parents on December 26th that Teo had been the victim of what appeared to be a hoax. Someone using a fictitious name apparently ingratiated herself with Teo, the school said, then conspired with others to lead him to believe she died of leukemia. Swarbrick said that the relationship took place online and over the phone. But Teo had described staying on the phone with whom he thought was Kakua for hours each night over many months. Tuiasosopo's friend from church told ESPN that Tuiasosopo admitted to having his female cousin speak to Teo over the phone. Teo told Notre Dame officials that he received a phone call December the 6th while in attendance at an ESPN awards show in Orlando, Florida, from a number he recognized as having been that he associated with Kakua. So there's that December 6th. And on December the 6th, the woman on the line during the phone call told Teo she had to fake her own death in order to elude drug dealers. The woman then tried to restart her relationship with Teo. Oh, come on, man. Are you asking me to believe this horse dung? This is a load, okay, that this guy, Manti Teo, is involved in. He's into it up to his freaking neck. This Tuiasosopo guy... Has anybody met this guy yet? Supposedly, this was a phone call from the girlfriend to somebody saying, oh, I talked to him, and she didn't want her voice, her real name used. She didn't mind it being recorded, but she's in fear for her own safety. I'm telling you, this is a series of elaborate lies so this Monty Teo can get off the hook for making up this large lie. And why? Who knows? People may say it's because he wanted to ingratiate himself with Heisman voters. I say it's because he's got a personality defect. That may have something to do with it, but the personality defect creating these stories, I bet you if you go back in this guy's life, you'll find a lot of other big stories he created. We'll be right back. World-famous Phil Henry Show with more of this baloney.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil
deli
Henry
today,
Show.
Man. Yeah, this is a deli, man. We're serving up the baloney. Right. Thick sliced. Here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL. On the line with us is former professional football coach Jersey Jenkins from Milwaukee. Coached the Milwaukee Lions briefly during this past season, and he joins us on our newsmaker line from Milwaukee. Jersey, you know, you've been around football players, and you've been around young men as well as mature ball players, you, college guys, high school guys. To me, this sounds like a young guy who's in the glare of the spotlight, who wants to get a little bit of extra love from the media and comes up with a big bullcrap story.
Well, I'll tell you something, Phil. I hate to disagree with you, but I got to tell you that this guy is, in my opinion, from all accounts and all the reports that I've heard and from the intelligence that I've gathered, and also just the people that I know at Notre Dame and the places that young man, Mr. Teo, has played, but he is a young man of astounding character and good judgment and good taste, and has been, has been feted in all of the footballing, any of the areas of football, the chapels, the churches, the halls of football where one can be celebrated. Manti Teo is right up there. I think it's premature to say that he is not telling the truth or prevaricating or however you want to put it. I think it's wrong to say that every bit as much as it may be wrong to say that, the whole thing is true. Because we know from what we heard in the news today that this young lady who called the news media or contacted the news media, she's saying She talked to this guy, Tui Asasopo. You know what? I'm going to give Matt DeTeo the benefit of the doubt on this one and just and play it out.
Well, okay, but come on, Coach. You want to give him the benefit of the doubt. I understand you have to say that because you're a football coach.
No. Let me tell you something, Phil. Nobody, you know, I just got to tell you, no one blows any smoke up my dress. I've been in this game for a long time. I've been around the media a long time. I've been around football players a long time. And I know that they are all, at the end of the day, they're all looking to promote themselves, and they've got a book to sell, or they've got a video game to sell, or they just have a career to sell. But no one's going to blow smoke up my dress, and as the saying goes, pee down, well, I shouldn't say, but pee down my back and tell me it's raining when I know that it's a bright, sunny day. And it's just someone standing behind me on a rooftop or something with a fly down, and you know what I'm saying? We're just
I understand. But again, you're saying that you're not a gullible guy.
I am not a gullible guy.
Okay. And I don't think you are either, Coach. But come on, just hear me out here.
All right, go ahead. Make your case. You state your case. I'll state my case. And I think that's the best way to do it.
Okay, my case is this. Here's a guy by the name of Tui Asasopo. His name is being bandied about in the press. He's been mentioned in many different stories. He is now mentioned as the guy who perpetrated the hoax. And yet, no one has met him yet. No one's talked to him.
Well, I you mean no one from the media's met him?
Well, that's what I mean, yeah.
I mean, I'm sure that there are people out there that have met him. You know, if he goes to get gas, I'm sure there's a guy at the gas station. I'm sure that...
No, I'm talking about significant individuals in this story.
All right, but that's not to say he doesn't exist.
That may well be, but I'm the importance of this story is that all the principals must come forward now, and let's talk about this, because here's what's at stake. Notre Dame's athletic director has gone out on a limb to talk about the character of this young man. The university is backing him. He's a guy who was up for the Heisman, and it may have been an attempt to defraud or otherwise, con the media of this country into giving him a few extra votes so he could win the Heisman on some big made up story. You know, there's people that lose brothers and lose girlfriends and lose grandmothers. They suffer real trauma from the loss of a loved one every day. For some guy to manipulate the national media, I think it says a lot of bad stuff about that guy. And Notre Dame's gone out on a limb. Now, I know it's not against the law necessarily.
Well, unless he had the law enforcement, but you're not going to have law enforcement go after a woman that's dying of leukemia.
Well, they're not going to go after her.
No, but the point is, you don't call the police if someone has leukemia, unless there's something about the leukemia that would inspire a criminal investigation. For instance, if someone had, however they would do it, someone gave you leukemia, I think then you would be within your rights to contact the law enforcement agency nearest you.
And well, we don't need to talk about that.
Well, we don't need to, but you're asking about, you're saying law enforcement.
No, I said that's the only thing that this story, that this entire episode has not done, is draw law enforcement into it. All right, so, Coach, go ahead.
Go ahead, what?
You state your case.
All right, my case is this. Tui Asasopo is the name of a middle linebacker that played for the San Francisco 49ers in the 90s, and I'm not saying that this is the guy, but it's a name that is known in Polynesian circles. In football, in the world of football in the Pacific Islands, the name Tui Asasopo, Mosey Tatupu, these are some big names, and I forget, the guy that played in Canada, do you remember that guy?
No.
A Hawaiian by the name of Junior Kakagu'ua. It was a name that the Hawaiian Islander and the Pacific Islander names are very difficult to express or to understand, but yeah, you know what I mean. So the name Tui Asasopo, Junior Kakua, Ahula, if you can just fill it, because I don't have the name, just... imagine that that's a real name. I apologize.
Well, it's not his real name. I think it's Junior Ahu.
Well, that sounds worse than the one that I made up, which is Kakua, you know, and that one that I made up sounds realistic.
Whatever. We're not going to make names up here, Coach.
I understand.
Hold on. We'll be right back with Jersey Jenkins, former head coach of the Milwaukee Lions, as we talk here about this man, Monte Teo. That guy does exist. We know that. That's the only guy in this whole story that we know is actually a real person. Everybody else is like some mystery person. We'll be right back. Phil Hendry Show.
The other Hawaiian was Hula. I'll just say Hula Joe. How's that?
With Coach Jersey Jenkins, Jersey coached the Milwaukee Lions this past season, and joins us here on our Newsmaker line as we talk about Monte Teo, the football player from the University of Notre Dame, who had a great season, was a Heisman candidate on a football team that was number one ranked in the country going into the national championship. They did lose to the to Alabama, but it was a good season all around for Notre Dame. And in the middle of all of this, the man announced, Mr. Teo, that he lost his grandmother and his girlfriend on the same day, as a matter of fact. The grandmother died of natural causes, I guess. The girlfriend died from leukemia. And the country football fans, college football fans, rallied around this guy. The school rallied around him. Sports Illustrated did a story on him. ESPN did a story on him.
You know, Phil, not to interrupt you, but you talk about, I hear you often on the program talking about feeling like a horse's hind end. I can imagine there's more than one sports editor in this country over the past week that has felt like the biggest horse's butt that, imaginable over this story. Now, that's coming from a guy who I want to believe that Monte is telling the truth.
All right, but just to finish the story here,
yeah.
He then announces that on the 6th of December, and he didn't announce this right away. He announced to Notre Dame on the 26th of December that on the 6th of December he got a phone call that from this woman saying that, "I'm alive. I'm not dead. I had to fake my own death to get away from drug dealers. And I'm actually alive, and I want to start our relationship again."
Yeah, and I know you find that hard to believe. I think it makes perfect sense.
What about that makes perfect sense? But before we do that, that happened. But he didn't talk to Notre Dame about it until the 26th. And during that time, he was giving interviews with the media, talking about this woman. And I believe that this whole horse dung about how she called up and said she's not dead, she wants to restart the relationship, she had to do this with drug dealers, is a way to give him an alibi or to make the stories in the intervening weeks that she was still alive, that he was still mentioning her in interviews, make sense.
There's more confusion in the story you're telling, Phil, than the one that Monte Teo simply said that the young lady called him up and said, "I'm not dead, I'm alive, but I had to fake my death because of transfer." Let me tell you about drug dealing. And in this country, drugs are being dealt, and people are buying these drugs, and they are smoking them or injecting them or whatever they do with them. I don't know anything about it, but I can tell you, as a teacher, I've had to use a small amount of marijuana to know the effects. And I'll tell you something right now, Phil. I smoked just a very small amount of marijuana to know the effects, and I was just, my mind was filled with all kinds of wild hallucinations and crazy things I was looking at as I was laying on my back in bed staring at the ceiling, and I'm looking at all kinds of colors and multicolored rabbits and that kind of thing. So that's happening in this country, all right? And so these drug dealers will deal this stuff that makes people see these images, and no wonder they're going to threaten to kill somebody. If you can make someone you know, I don't mean to make a joke out of it, but if I'm laying on my back looking at rabbits dancing around on my head and everything, you know, I would, you know, if I was a drug dealer, I'd kill to have a product like that to sell.
That may be true, but there's drug dealers, and then there are fake drug dealers. There's drug dealers, and then there's ways of using the stories of drug dealers to keep a phony baloney story going, you know?
Well,
I'm going to get it. Hey, Coach, this is Bud Dickman.
Yeah, Bud, go ahead.
You said you smoked a little bit of a marijuana?
Yes, I did. I smoked a very small amount of something called donkey D-word, I better not say. And then I also had a small, very small amount of BC, Bud, Matt. And I smoked that, and I tell you, I was out of my mind. I was half out of my mind. When I awoke the next day, it was a Saturday morning, and I was laying outside, and I was half out of my mind.
All right, but we're not talking about that right now.
No, I'm just wondering if you smoked that stuff. Would it make you make up a story?
I think you could make a story up. If you're telling me that Monte Teo smoked any small amount of the marijuana that I experimented with so I'd know the effects, if you're saying that Monte Teo smoked that, then he would have been half out of his mind, and his mind would have come undone, and you can make up all kinds of stories.
So now Monte Teo has made this story up as the result of drug abuse. Nonetheless,
I'm not saying that that's the case, but if he smoked what I smoked, and there's every reason to believe that he could get his hands on it and then some, I don't doubt he'd be half out of his gourd. But I don't know for sure. I don't want to call the man a drug user, not knowing him, and I certainly respect him, so I would say it's probably a dirty lie if someone says he smokes marijuana, but I wouldn't know because I don't know his habits, although I like to believe that he wouldn't.
All right, Jersey Jenkins, I'm going to let you go, and I appreciate very much you joining us.
All right, Phil, and have a good Easter. I think that's the next big one on the calendar, isn't it?
Yeah, it's going to be Easter, and then 4th of July.
Well, there's got to be something between Easter and the 4th of July, isn't there?
Memorial Day.
What's that?
Memorial Day.
Yeah, Memorial. So there's Easter, Memorial Day, the 4th of July. Well, listen, whatever you celebrate, whatever your religion is, have a wonderful time, Phil, and stay away from that marijuana that I... Stay away from marijuana anyway, but stay away from the marijuana that I was just mentioning, because your mind will come unglued, and I think that that's what happened not only to Monte Teo, but I think to the athletic department at Notre Dame and probably a few of the priests there.
All right, well, let's just stop while we're ahead here, because I don't want to start talking about the priests blasting up.
Yeah, well, that's a good point. That's a very good point. Can I tell you one story?
Okay.
I'll tell you, I sent away for this because I don't really have anything to hide. I've always been a guy who's up front. I sent away for a subscription to the New York Post newspaper. And I got back instead a PosTVac. Do you know what this is?
It's a sex thing for guys, right?
Yes, it's a pump. And I said, what about the guy? Can you imagine the guts on some guy sending me this? Like, I need this, okay? And I said to my wife, and she said, well, what is it? I said, well, I think you, and I demonstrated it. And she said, you know, whatever works. And I said, boy, you really, that hurts. My wife, Darlene, Phil.
Yeah.
I said, that hurts. And she said, what hurts? Me telling you you need it or that thing? I said, the thing, and I said, the whole experience hurts. And
all right, look, I gotta get going, Jersey.
All right, young man. But the point I'm trying to make is you subscribe to the New York Times, and what do you get? A penis pump. You see what I mean? That's how things get. I didn't lie. I said I want the New York Times or the New York Post.
How do you get a PosTVac, which is a sexual device to aid men with dysfunction, how do you get that when you ordered the New York Post?
Because PosTVac is P-O...
Oh, yeah, P-O-S-T.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go, P-O-S-T.
Right, yeah, but then there's a VAC, and there's no New York.
What do you mean there's no New York? I was just there.
Are you kidding?
Well,
there's no New York in the address.
Oh, you know what? You're making a good point, Phil. I would be a liar if I said that you weren't making a good point. I'd be a crawling liar, a liar, if I said you weren't making a good point. So you're making a good point.
All right, we'll see you later, Jersey.
But I would say that there...
Thank God. You notice I didn't say anything.
Yeah.
That's because you don't know anything about football.
You didn't have to know anything about football to interview that blithering idiot. Are you kidding?
Hey, wait a minute. That Jersey Jenkins, he's a football coach.
I don't care if he's a football coach. I don't care if he is a nuclear scientist. He was a blithering imbecile. And why you kept him on the air as long as you did, Phil?
I wanted to get his view. And I'll tell you something. We got his view.
That's for sure.
Well, it's a ridiculous view.
It may be a ridiculous view, but you know what? It's a view. And I like it. And I'll tell you something else. You're going to find out a lot of things about people and a lot of things about events when you hear from the individuals who don't make any sense. Because you're getting all points of view. And I like to hear people try to make sense out of something that you can't make sense out of it.
Well, what does that tell you?
It just tells me the lengths that people that are defending this guy and the Notre Dame... Well, you know, I'm not ready to hang it on Notre Dame. But I just think it's really interesting because, again, we're dealing with a certain personality type. And I don't see this guy as a manipulative person like Lance Armstrong. Lance Armstrong is an abnormal person. Lance Armstrong is an abnormal person. He attacked and hurt people. He lied. He sued. He bullied. He pushed people around. He is a sociopath. Like textbook. This kid here has got some kind of a personality dysfunction. I don't know what it is.
So you do believe he's in this by himself and he concocted this whole thing?
Absolutely. Absolutely. When I read this story about this Tui Asisopo guy coming forward, I thought, well, okay. Now here's a guy we can talk to and he's going to tell us the real deal, man, as soon as he stops his lying, and he'll get right to the real deal, and he'll tell us how this Monte Teo dude is he's covering for him. But guess what?
They don't even know if he exists.
Exactly. We don't even know if that guy exists, because we find out about his existence from some girl that was talking to a reporter and only recorded and wouldn't give her name.
Well, I just, you know.
Why don't you go have a pall mall?
I think I will.
Good. All right. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show here and philhendryshow.com on this Saturday morning. I hope you have a... I'm going to have a great weekend. I'm getting in the car in about 6 or 7 hours, and I'm hitting 101, and I'm going... Whee! I'm going straight north to the city by the bay, San Francisco, or San Frisco.
Or no, it's actually... It is San Francisco.
Yeah. Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry
San
Show.
San Francisco. Yes. It's the village people.
You're listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Captain.
Well, it looks like you guys can't pull your little ha-ha joke on me.
Yeah, why wouldn't they have that?
I don't know. iTunes is not... iTunes blows, okay?
Yeah, you got iTunes.
I know I got iTunes, okay? But iTunes sucks. It just... It's... I hate it. And I, you know, I like most of the Apple platforms, if you'll pardon the expression. But I don't dig iTunes for a number of reasons. It's gotten big and bulky and cumbersome, and it's crap, and they don't have... And there's a lot of artists that don't want their music on iTunes. I think Amazon is 50 times better, and I'm going to begin to use Amazon, and that's just where that's at, man.
You want to use Amazon on now?
I buy books from Amazon. I got my Kindle. I love it. I love it, man. I use the Kindle on the phone. And, you know, I get it, because I just got done reading, because I'm a real... You know, folks, when it comes to books and when it comes to reading, you know, you're never... I'm not ever going to try to force my taste on my audience. I'm never going to... I don't come in here talking, wow, I just read a fantastic book, Blood on the Moon, The Lincoln Assassination. You know, I've done a lot of reading about Lincoln long before the movie came out. Team Arrivals, all that stuff. But I don't come rolling in here and rapping. I mean, during the pre-show, sometimes I do. But I have my little world of reading. And one of the things that I do is I sometimes use the Kindle on my phone. Sometimes I use the Kindle on an iPad. And sometimes I'm reading a book, you know.
What do you mean? Oh, you mean the paper?
Yeah, the one made out of paper.
What's that?
The book.
Book. Oh, yeah.
Right. And I like that. I like books. I like holding books, and I like looking at them and turning the pages, and I like that. But there are times when, you know, I want to lay in bed. And the great thing about using the Kindle is it's a little light, you know, so you don't have to turn a light on.
Well, yeah, I use that, and I don't wake up Frank, because by the time I get to bed, Frank is cutting those logs big time. He is snoring like an animal, like a freight train going south. And one night, because Frank and I have a king-size bed, so one night he was snoring, and I had laid on what we have, a little day bed in the bedroom.
What's that? What's a day bed?
It's a smaller bed that was across the room from Frank. And I got out of the bed and I laid down there because he was just really, it was almost like, well, it was like a steam plant or a large machine shop.
What was?
His snoring, for God's sake.
Oh, wow, okay.
No, it sounded like a machine.
Well, it was more than a machine. It sounded like a machine that had thrown a bearing. You know, so you know you've got machines that are whirr, and then it throws a bearing, it's whirr, you know, like that.
Okay, so in other words, Frank was snoring really, really loud.
Yes. So I woke up, and I was so tired that I just grabbed anything that I could and started throwing it at him.
What do you mean?
I mean, I was so tired I didn't want to get out of bed.
You didn't want to get out of bed and shake him?
No, I just grabbed whatever I could. I found pennies, I found a matchbook. I found a folded knife. I didn't throw the open knife, but I found a folding knife that was closed. I threw that, and I, believe it or not, I nailed him in the head with that. And so that got my confidence up.
But did it wake him up?
No, not even close. So there was still this whirr, clang, this machine, this grinding. All I can describe it is like a bearing that was thrown.
This is his snoring.
Bill, how many times do I have to say...
Well, Margaret, you're telling a story that sounds
for insanity.
Well, I'm telling you the truth.
All right.
So then I nailed him with the knife, and naturally, so I grabbed an ashtray, hit him with the ashtray. By this point, my aim's getting good.
Now, I just want to...
Oh, here we go.
No, can I just stop?
I was on a roll.
Go ahead.
So I hit him... No, you go ahead.
Well, you've hit him with a folded-up knife.
No, I didn't say folded-up knife. I said a folding knife.
That was closed.
Yes.
You hit him with an ashtray.
Yes.
You hit him with a barbell, did you say?
No, a dumbbell, one of those small dumbbells.
Dad, are you kidding me? You wailed him on that?
Must have cracked his skull open.
No, he didn't even wake up.
Well, at what point do you stop throwing stuff?
I threw a table... And he still didn't wake up.
Now, wait, Margaret, you got to let me. I mean, because you got to understand. This may make sense to you. It may make sense to the audience. You threw a table.
It was a folded-up card table, and I picked it up over my head and threw it on him.
And he didn't wake up.
He didn't wake up. That's when I started to worry. That's when I went over, and I said, Frank, and he said, I've been awake through that entire... He was awake.
He was awake.
Yes. And I said, when did you wake up? He said, as soon as you hit me with the knife. And I said, well, why didn't you say something? And he said, because I thought it was pretty funny. And then he went back to sleep. So you see, it's personality types.
Margaret, of all the weird crap that I've heard tonight...
No, 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 Phil. No, you don't get to call my family weird and everyone else is normal.
No, no, no. Everybody else is not normal. But of all the weird crap I've heard tonight, Frank laying there and letting you hit him with folded-up knives, ashtrays, a bar, a dumbbell, a table, and he thinks it's funny.
Yes, haven't you ever, you've never had someone hit you with something heavy like a chair and laugh?
Never. I can safely say never. No one's ever hit, maybe if they hit me with a wet towel or something, you know.
Yeah, you're going to laugh, son, here with a towel, but a guy going to hit me with a chair? I'll turn around and nail him chair.
Yeah, man, don't do short of him.
Oh, sorry, I'll turn around and nail him with a chair.
No, you already did. I think he didn't. You know, I'm done. I'm finished. It's the weekend. Can I go?
You may go, because we've got no time left.
Thank you.
There's Margaret Gray. So, Frank, wherever you are, man, you're a tough nut, dude. I'll tell you that. I don't know how you think that's funny. He's laying there. He's awake, and she's throwing crap. I guess I'm laughing now. World-famous Phil Henry Show is produced by Dan Northcraft and me, Phil Henry. And if you want a backstage pass, by all means, go to philhenryshow.com and grab a backstage pass. And with that, you are, well, you are exposed to, if you'll pardon the expression, the world of Phil Henry and all of the great stuff that we got there. Until Monday night at 10 o'clock Pacific, 1 o'clock Eastern, let that be a lesson to you. And have a very, very good weekend, guys.
Phil Henry.